John chapter 14, verse 15. The scripture says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Conditional. If you love me, keep my commandments. I want to speak to you now concerning an analysis of love. Analyzing love, if you will. Now, love, analyzing things, that seems to be my strength through the years. Of course, I won't do a very good job at this, but before you get into anything, you need to analyze it, make sure of the pros and cons. And we know the Word of God is sure, steadfast, and the statement's true. But the problem is we don't always understand the statement. Now, my background, I spent almost 35 years in engineering, so everything had to be analyzed, that is, if you do things right. And one of the first things they did for us, they sent us off to school and they analyzed our brain. You know, God created us just like we are, and he created us right. And, you know, you have four quadrants of the brain, and one I call is the inventive cycle, you know, the blue sky. What you see, what you anticipate, may not be much reality in it, but kind of the visionary. Some people excel in that. I didn't. And then other people, you know, common sense, just plain old common sense and care, compassion for others. That's one whole quadrant of the brain. Some people are just about brain dead in that area. It's the truth. And that's just the way they are. And then there's the other two quadrants. Now I'm going to preach a message on the quadrants of the brain. But what I found out was a lot of people, and most people, excel in one or two areas. And then when I took the test, I didn't excel in any of it. But that was very unusual that every quadrant of my brain was the same. And that was very unusual. And then the next thing is, do these quadrants of the brain talk to each other? I mean, your memory and everything like that. So to get on with life, you know, people were chosen to do a job that they did it best. For instance, some people, they had the blue sky attitude, and they could invent things beyond reason. And that's just what it was. It was beyond reason. There's no way it's going to work. Concept's good. And even if concept worked, they did not have a capability of getting rid of all the flaws to make it producible. Some people have produced stuff, and it would have been great, but you couldn't make it. And if you did, you couldn't afford it, and nobody could. So all these things are in the analysis. So they finally put me in the position that all these engineers that, you know, knew 10 times more than I did about everything, but weak in a lot of areas, and they would give it to me, and I would have to change the design quite a bit. Well, we were talking about a subject tonight that we don't have to worry about the design. But I'm afraid we're weak a lot in assessing the value of do we love him or not. And sometimes we're weak in the area of his commandments. What are the commandments he's talking about? If you love me, keep my commandments. So let's go through that and analyze. First of all, we want to look at the assertion by Jesus that he made on the principles of love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Thank God for that. That was perfect love. So we see that love is demonstrated by giving. And that giving was something that we can't even adhere to. It's unspeakable. It's unthinkable, the love that God had for us. So whatever this love is that he wants us to have, it's past our understanding. But he wants us to understand that we have to accept him as our Savior. Now, a lot of people get deceived in this, and a lot of people think they don't have to make a decision. They think the decision is, I want eternal life. Most everybody does, and everyone ought to. But the thing of it is, they're not willing to do what they have to do to receive eternal life. What you have to do, you have to admit you're in need of a Savior, that you're lost. Most people are not willing to do that. And most people are not willing to accept him as their Savior because they want this blanket statement that when I die, I'll go to heaven. That's a good policy. The thing of it is, it comes with lordship. If I receive him as my Savior in my heart, I have to make that decision. I have to analyze the whole thing and do it. I want to be with my Lord. If I'm not with you, you don't know. But during the process of time, there's a lot of deception goes on because people want him as an insurance policy that when I die, I go to heaven without any consideration of the fact that I would want to live for him. I want him to be my Lord, my master. And if they don't analyze that and don't accept it, then it's not a complete package. It does come with a complete package. Love. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, this decision that we make, yes, I want him to be my Lord. I want my sins forgiven. Rid of them and praise God for them. Now this decision process that he has given us the ability to receive of him, it delivers us from sin. That means we are adopted into the family of God. The assertion that he himself made, and then number two, that he adopts us into the family of God. Now, if you're in a family, you've got some characteristics similar to other family members. What did he say in Philippians? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, that as he thinks, we're thinking. As he loves, we're loving. Now, of course, he's God. He does it on a large scale. But the same type of love is demonstrated. If you love me, keep my commandments. God is love. Well, what's his commandments? Well, that's easy. God never gave us anything hard along the journey of life. I'm proud he didn't. I'm simple-minded. I've already told you that. But along the journey of life, he gives us something to remember. His commandments are not grievous, and they're not hard to keep. First of all, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, my commandments are to live. That you love the Lord your God with all your heart. And you can't do that if you're not willing to make him Lord. It's an impossibility. You'll never get to the second base. If you love me, keep my commandments. You can't keep his commandments. You don't even have the desire. You don't have the instinct. You don't have the will. You don't even want to keep his commandments if he's not your Lord and Savior. But since he's my Lord and Savior, then he has given us that ability to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your mind. Now, it's easy to say, what? Sorry about that. Okay, you want me to start over? Thank you for that. We'll slow down. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. But you can't do it if you're not willing to make him Lord. If you make him Lord, you can. And the second thing, it's real easy too, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Simple things. You don't have to write them down. You can remember that on the way to Walmart, after you get to Walmart, when the line is from here to the back of the building and you're in a hurry, you can still remember that. That other people are in line too and they're just as big a hurry as you are. And the person up at the checkout account that really don't want to be there, they got a lot of things to do too, and they're doing the best they can. Just analyze the situation. And it's helped me a lot through life in pastoring a church, just to be able to analyze love. I remember before I went to pastor my first church, I was told, don't go pastor that church. How come? Well, there's a bunch of wolves there. Oh, really? And I said, well, what if God tells me to go pastor that church? That ought to count, because if I love him, I'll keep his commandments, and his commandments, he speaks to me. He's Lord, and I don't go where I want to go, and I don't do what I want to do. I do what he wants me to do. That is, if I love him. Now, that's a condition of love. We have to analyze that. We have to make an assessment of that. So I went ahead and went, and sure enough, it was pretty rough sledding for a while. I remember one time, but I told him what I'll do. I said, I'll just practice something, and I'll just try to demonstrate what he has said in his word. It ought to work, because the word's perfect. If you use the word and follow the guidelines, and the assessments, then everything ought to be all right, because he will make it all right. And I'll just use that. Very few people do, but I'll try something hardly anybody tries. I'll just follow the guidelines. See if it works. So I went there, and sure enough, you know, I remember one time somebody coming up to me and in the service and after the service and right in my face and just letting me have it. Stand up for me, Darren. And you know what? I just practiced what the book says. I just put my hands on his shoulder and says, "I love you." He said, "Huh?" "Huh?" He just went and sat down. I never had any more problems with that particular person. I don't know if he'd ever had anybody tell him. And I wasn't dogmatic about it. I was as sincere as I could be. I was just practicing love. Why? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I admit everybody can't be loved. People don't want to be loved. Remember what Jesus said? Paul said, "Now, when I leave you, grievous wolves are going to come in." Now, he said, you're going to have trouble recognizing them because you're dressed in sheep's clothing. And God spoke to my heart and said, "Now, I'm not going to give you the ability to recognize them, but I'm going to teach you about their instincts," because that's what Paul's talking about. He said, "I'm not going to let you skin them or anything like that, these wolves, but I want you to know about a wolf. Now, I want you to go and study the nature of a wolf, and then you'll be able to use the guidelines I give you along the journey of life about the wolves that's in the church." And I said, okay. So back in those days, the only wolves that was in America was in the place called Ely, Minnesota. That's the most northwestern part of Minnesota next to Canada. I know today they're in a lot of states. They've been reintroduced, but back in those days, there wasn't any. So Sandra and I left, and we went to study the nature of the wolf. And boy, did I learn a lot. The wolf doesn't fare good at all in warm weather. I mean, I realize they used to be in Florida, they used to be in Mexico, but the biggies are in Alaska, Canada, and in cold weather. And God taught me a lesson. You just have the church hot in love, and the wolves don't like the appetite. They like it gnawing on somebody, and the pastor gnawing back. And I just practiced love. It just kept on working. Kept on working. Because the wolves, I started preaching the love of God, and some people left the church. They really did. And they left because they wanted to run it. And the Lord told me when I went there to announce to them that God didn't send me here to run the church, but he sent me here to tell you that you wasn't running it. It worked. The Lord runs the church. The love of God, it passes all understanding. And let the love of God permeate your heart. And love your neighbor as yourself. But I remember one lady one time came and told me that I don't want you to let that lady sing anymore. And she told me all the reasons. Well, things went pretty good there for a while until one Sunday the Lord told me to let her sing. And then that lady told me that didn't show up anymore for a long time. Finally, she came to a special service, sat over beside me at the close of the service. I made a real bad mistake. I went over to her and said, "We've been missing you." And she said, "I guess you have." Well, I didn't lie because I had been missing her. I didn't say which way I was missing her. But you see, the wolves, when you follow God's leadership, the wolves will leave. And God told me what to do about that too. He said, "Now, for every person that leaves, don't you worry about it. They'll leave because they don't like the preacher, don't like the fact that I'm running the church." The Lord is speaking, of course. They'll leave for some reason. He said, "That's okay." But he said, I'll give you this. For every person that leaves, for those reasons, I'll send three. That's a pretty good deal. So, did you go after that woman and try to get her back in that already displayed her wolfship? No. I spent the same amount of time trying to get her back in. I got three more in. I didn't waste any time on her. And you know what the Lord's done for me over the years? I've counted them. For every person that left, he has multiplied and sent me 10. For every person that leaves because they don't like the gospel, they don't like the way the Lord runs the church, he promised three, but he's given 10. Pretty good. hey, this love thing's going to work after all, folks. It really is. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and we'll keep on reading here. It's going to get better. So we're adopted in the family of love. I want to do an assessment of this love. I couldn't do it nearly as good as Paul did under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's let him give us some guidelines here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talking about some assessments of love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Let me read that again. It's not puffed up. I mean, every one of us can understand that. That is, if you love the Lord. Doth not behave itself, and seemingly seeketh not their own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And you know that which is perfect has come? Oh, we talked about him recently at Christmas, right? Wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. Love. Christ Jesus, manifest in the flesh, came to earth. The shepherds on the hillside were told, go inquire of this child that's born in Bethlehem. And there you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they lived by faith and found it just like the angels had said. But it's so interesting that the angels, a whole host of them, probably thousands and thousands. When God says host, he don't mean a dozen or hundreds. A whole host of the heavenly angels came and sang on the hillside, glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace had come to the earth through Christ Jesus. He manifests his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So let's summarize this chapter 13 just a little bit. We can do it in just about four paraphrases. First of all, he says, love is more powerful than words. All the words, English language, Russian language, and all the languages combined, love is more powerful than all of Shakespeare's and every person that's ever spoken. Love is more powerful than that. Then he continues. He says, love is more precious than the world. Though I have all riches and all goods, to have love is more precious. Most of us love precious things. Well, if you have love for God, and you have to have to keep his commandments, because he said, if you love me, you will, you ought to. And then he told us later on that we will keep his commandments. And then thirdly, this love is more pronounced than wisdom. All the wisdom of the world and all the wisdom of scholars, and there's been a lot, Plato and all those people of old, they're pretty smart people. People that invented the atomic bomb, smart people. That's wisdom. That's earthly wisdom. This love is more powerful and more precious, and it's more pronounced than all the wisdom of the world. But lastly, it's more productive than works. The love of God, I mean, you go out and you work, and that's what God was teaching me, still teaching me. I'm just small in the Lord. I'm nothing. But if I'm ever anything, it'll be because of following the rule book and the instruction book. And he said, don't try to do it. Unless the Lord build a church, they labor in vain that build it. And just common sense. Now, most men that I've known that tries to build a church, You know, the wolves come in and something bad happens. Most of it turns out bad. But if the Lord build a church, and how's he going to build a church? If you love me, keep my commandments. And his commandments aren't grievous. So we let him send whom he will. And he's the one that takes care of everything. And others may depart. That's okay. The Lord's in charge of everything. I learned, you know, just as a little bit of a child, my brother and I learned a lot. You know, Dad was 6'6", big, tall man. And when I would get out away from my brother, who was a little taller than me, too, and I was out on my own, and these mean kids, there's mean kids out there in those days. They'd kick your shins, and they'd pull your hair. You know what I'd do? I'd just run and get between Daddy and stick my head under his legs. Because I loved my dad. And I didn't have to worry about things. And I've learned that's the way it is with the Lord. He loves me. He died for me. It's his church, not mine. He called me. I didn't call myself. And all I have to do is follow the formula best I can. He corrects the mistakes. He increases. And to him be the glory. I've never done anything or ever will do anything worth glory. But he gets all the glory for everything. Just a simple assessment of love. But let's go farther and look at some other things about love, since we're looking at analysis of love. It will overcome all adversities. Oh, did you know in this world the devil will send a lot of adversities? Well, sometimes the Lord himself orchestrates it. Yeah, Peter said so. The trials of your faith being much more precious of gold than precious. The trials of my faith are orchestrated by God many times to test me, to try me, to see if I love him. And if I really love him, I'll keep his commandments. And those tests come. Now, these adversities that come, there's calamity. Every one of us could witness that. We've had calamity in our life, some self-inflicted, some by the worldly standards, some by other people. It's going to come. But love of God and God's love in you will help you overcome those calamities every time they come. Carnality. We can speak a lot about others' carnality, but each of us may have a measure of our own. Just a carnal flesh. You know, somebody speaks hateful to you. And you may not say it, but you think it, and God knows the thought. Boy, if I wasn't a Christian, if I was, no language. Carnality. Hey, the love of God perfected, then you'll overcome that. You know, love, the Bible says, overcomes fear. Perfect love overcomes fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what the world will do to you. All kinds of fear. Well, this adversity of love also is the only ingredient that can overcome confusion. Yeah, the devil majors on confusion. Confusion with people. He even tries to get me to confuse myself, which is not too hard to do. Sometimes I say, Roy, why in the world? I talk to myself a lot if nobody's listening. Roy, why did you ever do that? What was you thinking? And just confusion. Confusion of the world standards. Confusion of everything. We need to learn to make an analysis of love, and it will overcome all of these adversities. Well, then let's talk about that abiding love. Jesus said, now this love I give you, it's not just to get you to heaven. This is something I'm going to leave with you. And let's go back to 14th chapter of John and read the text together and see what he's talking about. Jesus, of course, the introduction of this was his disciples. He is teaching them and training them, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. They had troubled hearts. They were just like you and me. They were troubled. Troubled times today. And he is saying, don't worry about it, because I've already considered the end of your conversation in my Father's house. That's where we're going. You're down here just for a little while. But I want you to concentrate on the big picture. If you learn to love me in this world and keep my commandments, I've got something for you in my Father's house or many mansions. Now, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. And he said, I'm going away pretty soon to prepare a place for you. Don't you worry about it, because if I go, I will come again. You will? Yeah, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's got it all figured out. This love thing really works. And then he said in verse 9, have I been so long time with you, and yet hath thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how saith thou, shew us the Father. See, Philip didn't quite understand. The rest didn't it neither. He was the only one that was bold enough to speak out. He says, Jesus says, I'm going, and you know the way. And Philip says, we do not. We don't know the way. And Jesus said, well, I and the Father are one, and I'm the way. You follow me and follow my commandments and trust me and love me, and I'll wash you white as snow, then I'm the way. Now, that'll get you through this world, Philip. But look what else he says in verse 10 or verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Here he goes again. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus expects it, demands it, that we keep his commandments, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sweet on myself as far as hurt. You know, I don't stick knives in me, and I don't even like to get shots. I don't want anybody else hurt me, much less I'm going to hurt myself. And they don't have to go farther with that analysis, because you know it also. Well, then he says, love others as yourself. Now, we've already admitted everybody don't want to be loved. Some people refuse love. Can't do anything about that. But your job and my job is in their heart to try. But now look what he's going to do. We're talking about this abiding love. And I want to talk to you about the accountability that we have. You see, Jesus said, I've done so much for you, and I want you to love me, and I want you to keep my commandments, because we're going to be the bride of Christ, you see. We're already engaged to him one of these days. We're something special. He handpicked us out, don't you know? Most of you men, you picked out your bride, and you were kind of proud of it. Praise the Lord. Well, God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost has already chosen us in himself. And now we're bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Look what he says in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. In other words, I'm going to heaven, and I have chosen you to be my bride. Pretty much said I don't trust you by yourself, because we're still in flesh, don't you see? So he said, I'll leave the comforter with you, Holy Ghost. He will indwell you. He will teach you more about me, and he'll teach you how to love. Because God says you ought to have the mind of Christ. And in that mind of Christ, he loved us. It wasn't conditional. It wasn't deserving. It was because he wanted to choose us as his bride. Had nothing to do with how good we were. Had a lot to do with the mercy of God and the grace of God. And I don't understand that. But I'd love to try to analyze the grace of God. Look what he says in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Look at this beautiful verse, and we'll close it. Do we have his commandments? Got them? David says, I got one better for you. I will hide his word in my heart, that I might not sin against God. You can't carry the Bible around everywhere, but boy, you can hide the commandments in your heart, because you and I don't want to sin against God. Because if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. I want to look at the absence of love. You see, the world doesn't know anything about it. He just told us. The world don't know about the love of God, don't want to know about the love of God. And a lot of the church people, I'm not saying Christians, but a lot of the church people don't know the love of God. There is a real absence of love. But may I go farther? There's a lot of saved people that displays and acts to Him and to one another and to herself. We're deceiving herself because we have an absence of love. But He summarizes it out here, and you couldn't miss this even if you wanted to. Look how simple it is. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now, He's told us three ways. First of all, He told us, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then He says, you ought to keep my commands. But now He says, here's the proof of it. He that hath my commandments, we have them, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. I mean, most anybody could have figured that out, but God just put it down here in black and white. It's a proof of the love of God in you that you keep His commandments. And if you don't, there's an absence of that love. And you can't fool Him, and you may have fooled yourself. But even the world and even other people know that. Just hatefulness, bitterness, confusion, contrariness, all these things out there. A real absence of love. I wonder what it would be, and this is the way God wanted it to be, that every saved individual that He's ever saved, if we would let the mind of Christ dwell in us, and we would love each other as He told us to, He won't change your commandments. And if we really had done that, wonder how many more people would have gotten saved. Wonder how many more churches would have had to be built, have packed the pews would have been. Because that's the world is looking at us. You know, they know where you go to church, if you go to church. You might tell them that you're a member of so-and-so, and they know, well, what good does that do, because they never go there. Hey, the world knows all that stuff. There is a real absence of love displayed by the Lord's bride. And there's no excuse for it. And it's really just proven, and you can't deny it. You don't love Him. If there's an absence of that, then read the text. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself in him. It's simple. Keep my commandments, it proves you love me. On the other side, if you don't keep my commandments, it proves you don't love him. And oh, how we love to sing that song. I love it too. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. And within their heart is contrariness, bitterness, lack of love for him and one another. It's a wonder God doesn't slap us over. Absence of love. But read the last part. This is getting really interesting now, because, see, God's on the throne, and he sent his son into the world, and for he'd be the perpetuation for our sins, the sin bearer, to take our sin and become sin for us himself, who had known no sin. That's how much he loved us. So God has handed over the reins to his son Jesus, all powers, all principalities, were ordained of him, and he has delivered them all to his son, and he's going to send his son back for us just any time. And on that golden day, break or night, when he comes, let's look at the rest of that verse. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. That's pretty important. If we love the Lord our God with all our heart, we love Jesus for dying for us, we love the Father for sending, we love the Holy Ghost for introducing us to him and coming after us and picking us up out of Maury Pit and putting us in Christ Jesus. Now, he done all that for us. It's a threesome all the way. And he says, my Father. Now, you've got children, you know how proud you are of your children. I'm proud of Darren. I'm proud of Michael. It's as proud as I could be of my children. How much more is God proud of his son? Because he's God and he's holy. And the Father now is looking down at all those people. He sent his son, and he bled and died for our sins. And God's looking on, and he's thinking of all that my son's done for them. Surely they ought to love him. And if they love him, they'll keep his commandments. And when we don't, it displeases the Father. But notice how pleased the Father is if we keep him. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. How are you going to gain the Father's love? One way. Love his son. I know the world sings a lot about God, and that's good. I'm not degrading God. God the Father, wonderful. Brother Rick Gilley, the Gilley family singers, used to come to our church a lot, and he's a preacher. He's got a great voice. And Rick Gilley and a friend of his, when they were in Memphis at the school, Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary in Memphis, on Sundays and their days off from school, they would go up to the Memphis airport. And they knew the manager, and he would let them climb up in the very balcony without microphones. They had sang the greatness of God and the love of God and how great they are. I mean, just thundering, wonderful voices, and people from all nations coming into Memphis. They'd stop and they would listen and they would applaud. Everything went good for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then one day, they started singing about the blood of Jesus. Uh-oh. People stopped. They said, we're in trouble now. We'll never get to sing here anymore. And sure enough, the complaints was made to management, even though the manager would have loved to have them sing. Can't let you sing anymore. You stepped over the boundary. Sang about how great God is. Great. And God is great. But you can't get to God if you don't go through his son. And the world don't want to hear that. And the world casts you out. And sure enough, they never got to sing again about God or anything else. But there's one way to please God, and that's to love his son. The world don't want to hear it. People are ashamed to do it, even the saved people so many times. So many times we just show the ignorance of, we don't really analyze the situation. How simply is that? Just think around. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Need to say no more. And these commandments, love the Lord your God, and love your neighbor as yourself. Just a simple analysis of love.